This is Warn Radio, Remnant Battle Lines for the End Time Christian Believer. Greetings, this is the Watchman, Dana Smith. This show is part headline news, prophecy, biblical commentary, guest interviews, and special presentations. Join us today as we enter into the lines of the remnant and the battle before us. This is the end of days. Darkness is... This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome to tonight's show.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warns the people. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 8th day of December 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 1 through chapter 40, verse 23. Amos chapter 2, verse 6 through chapter 3, verse 8. And the New Testament reading is Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 39. Go to warn-usa or danaglennsmith.com to check out the latest articles by The Watchman. Howling Change, 2017 and Upcoming Prophecy 2018. We can say that the improvement in the world is not shaping up, and the prospects of it returning to normalcy is null. This is because of the prophetic time clock and the day and age we live. Loving the brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain loved his brother. This is a point for all Christians to remember. This is not about loving the ungodly, helping those in need, or loving humanity in general. It's about loving the brethren. And last week's teaching is Prophecy, World Events, Tribulation 101, Possesses Your Soul, Part 4, Thy Works. Also, Journey of Promise for both Christians and Jews, Part 5, The Lord's Battle. You can go to www.warn-usa.com or www.danaglennsmith.com to listen to the articles and to listen to the show studies and the article, read the articles. You can find us on Facebook, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Vimeo, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR Warn Radio shows and more. And to follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag WGS_Watchman and #WarrenRadio. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Danny. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, we're here on another Friday night. And, you know, when you were reading that explanation about Cain loving the brethren, you have to read that article in order to understand that. I mean, you can't just sit there. You know, what we're talking about is not about something that many people, including humanitarian, try to love those that are hurting and helping all that. You're supposed to be doing that anyway.
Right.
But this one is specifically targeted at loving the brethren in Christ. And so there's a reason this was written. And that's because as far as it goes in America, and I can speak to that, the true loving of the brethren is null and void, period. And, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't have some little pockets of it, but you need to read the article. So at any rate, I'm trying to think. Of course, we talked about Trump's declaration about Jerusalem in last night's program. And, you know, today nothing's changed. The liberals are still the liberals.
That's true.
And a lot of them nincompoops that just blame Trump for everything. You know, I mean, you know, if it rains, it's his fault. If it snows, it's his fault. If there's a flood over on the other side of the world, it's his fault. If, you know, I mean, if there's catastrophe, it's his fault. If there isn't a catastrophe, it's his fault. You name it, it's his fault. These people have a universal idea here. It just blame Trump for everything and rant and rave, even though it makes no sense.
I know.
And that's what they've been doing for months. Their whole agenda is ranting and raving. It doesn't give the Democrats, the ones, you know, who don't really care for that, and not all Democrats like the way that this has been carried out. Of course, this is Soros' agenda, and we'd discussed that before about he likes to play God. He's getting used to playing God. And he's run into a little bit of trouble now that Trump has gotten in, and the other EU nations have found out that somebody like Trump can win, so they've got their own candidates, and they've even got some of their own nations that like what Trump is doing, and
good for him.
And they're targeting Soros. So, you know, Soros is not a friend of America. This guy is atheistic Jew. He is rich, filthy rich, and he's poured millions and millions into globalism.
Yeah.
And he specializes in bringing economies and countries down and putting it together the way he wants. So at any rate, that's neither here nor there. It just, there is a lot of money, not just his. There's others out there that do the same thing.
Yep.
But
I hope they, I wish they'd stop it. It's a mess.
Well, it is a mess. And, well, you know, at any rate, you know, we are in December, and we made it through 2017. Of course, at the beginning of 2017, when Trump got in, nobody thought that we would make it to the end. At least the Democrats and liberals didn't. Surprise, surprise!
We're almost at the end of a year.
Yeah, well, we're not quite there, but, you know. At any rate, what else is going on in the world? You know, I've been so busy with the websites and things. And we're working on a number of things on how we're dealing with the broadcasts. So there are changes that we've been working on. And So at any rate, as we get a little more down the road, if there's anything any more permanent, we are looking at various things concerning the podcast, the broadcasts, and right now we're streaming them out through Blueberry and all of their, they've got extensive contacts, network, and also through Spreaker, and then all of our various things. We're have a quite a few social sites, and you know, all the rest of it. So at any rate, getting this word around the world is the goal.
Yeah.
And so Thursday nights, pretty much, we're looking at 3 hours. I have been thinking about another broadcast, but we're not going to be expanding it a lot, because we want to keep pretty much to the standard fare what we're doing, because we want these. We are another territory now. We have been doing this on purpose, and we were on various platforms throughout the years. And this time we've specifically targeted the Android and the iPhone. Excuse me. And targeting this to get it around the world. And the good thing of it is, if you have a smartphone and you have our app, and of course you can do this on the Spreaker app, but you know, these broadcasts come up right away on our Warn Radio app. They're there immediately. And the Spreaker app, though, over on our Microsoft Edge, if you're using Microsoft Edge on our website, for some reason that thing don't work the best with the Spreaker apps, no matter which one I put on there. Not the app, but it's a regular thing we use for the website to embed all the stuff. But we have a full other line of stuff. We have our own posts that we have for all the shows, and they have, like yesterday that we did, we have 3 1-hour individual segments of audio that you can listen to or download. We have a 3-hour audio that you can listen to or download in case you don't want the singles. And then we have 3 1-hour videos. So we have like 7 different things on one show on Thursday night. And this is an effort to get all of the stuff broken down so you can hear what you want to hear. It takes extra effort to do this. And no, I didn't go out to get it done. I do the work myself. I know the code, and so we put it together, and it's working pretty good from what I can see. And check it out. I don't post it unless it is working, and when I find something that isn't working, I work on it until it does, and sometimes that can be a while. But at any rate, we got her going, and so we're really looking at ways of making sure we get this out. And, you know, we wanted to limit that. Although we do have 3 hours on Thursday nights, we wanted to make it to where it's easier for the mobile devices to listen and to download. And if you've got something that's 3 hours long, that's hard to download on a smartphone or one of the others. So that's why I broke them up. So at any rate, we hope you appreciate that. Of course, if you get them all off of Spreaker, they're automatically that way anyway. This is only for the Blueberry and our websites and the people that come to them, because we have quite a few people coming into the websites, and we've always had people from around the world coming to the websites, and so that's where they get the downloads and stuff. And tonight we are going to be talking about the Prophet and the Watchman, you know, the ministry that actually comes right out of Old Testament Israel.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be interesting.
So at any rate, it's hard to believe that we are in December, isn't it?
You know? Oh, I know, it is. Yeah, just coming down to the, we've already gone through about a third of December.
Well, yeah, we're getting close to it. Yeah, it's the 8th, and by the time we get through this weekend, it'll almost be at the half, you know.
Well, I know. It's crazy. It's too fast.
And, of course, the book, Steal the Darkness, has been going out, and people are going to be receiving that. They've already received some of them today. We got the word. So we've got more of them that are going to be going out in specials. But, you know, our main promo is, you know, you have to really get these things way months in advance. We needed to get this thing published back in June or July in order to get this thing going. But this is when we did it. And so our Ingram catalog ad isn't even going to appear until February. And then we've got other things going on that's going to take about that long. So we're just going to go from there, because I do, this is book one of a 4-book series that were planned. Planning is just that, planning. We got to write it. I got to write it. So, but before I begin anything, we want to get the book out. We want people to read it, and we want to get some feedback. And so at any rate, I've got a few tweaks to do on the book. I did some tweaks on Amazon Kindle in order to get the metadata and all of the keywords and everything in it. I had put some in it, but I wasn't happy with it, so I had to redo that, and I'm going to redo the book too, which kind of puts a little hump in the process. But and we were going to do some advertising again. We have been advertising both on Facebook and Amazon with it, but we probably won't start on Amazon till next week. And same thing with Facebook and Amazon both. It'll be later on. But you know, while everybody's concentrating on Christmas, we're just it's really about getting the word out, because these books have an underlying theology, biblical foundation to them. They're set in a fiction environment in America on current events. And so you have, you know, a Jewish prophet. You have a radical remnant preacher, a group of American patriots. You have Nephilim, UFOs, aliens, a Hitler-type character. And you got conspiracy theories. You've got a DC conspiracy theory. You've got the one world government in there. You've got everything that you could think of all rolled into one. And they all come together. And you'll find out. It has also a burned-out black ops sniper that is kind of one of the central characters. And so at any rate, it does have a good outcome, but it does take you through adventures. And as far as I'm concerned, it's an easy read. It's a fun read, because that's, yeah. I enjoyed writing it, and it's...
I enjoyed reading it.
And it moves through pretty quick. And so that's why I would like you to get it, you know. I mean, I can't afford to pay everybody to get it. But it is worth the money. And if you go over and you buy the book on Amazon, you can get the Kindle for, I think it was $2.99. Now, I didn't do that. Amazon was doing it. So I don't know, you know, if you buy both the book and want to get the Kindle as well, then they give you a discount. So at any rate, I do want you to check out the book. And you can go to our websites at warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can also go on Amazon, practically anywhere in the world, and you can go on Abe's Books in the UK even, because you can get this literally around the world. Matter of fact, I've sent out copies to our listeners that listen to us from around the world, and they're on the way. So you know, you can order it, but also Amazon through Amazon Global, you can order it in the United States and ship it, have it shipped to yourself. So check these things out and, you know, get the book and read it and leave a comment and rate it and let me know. You know, I want to write three more books and you got suggestions. I want to hear them. But if you're just going to be a rat and just rag that it's the worst book ever find, well, you know, that's life. But I disagree with you because I know books. I read a lot of books and I wouldn't have published it if I didn't think it was a good book. And I wouldn't have done any of this. So at any rate, we do want you to check it out. We do. We really think that you will like the book. It's a little bit different, so check it out. So at any rate, we got three more books to write, Tower.
I know. You need to get busy on them, dude.
Well, we ain't going to get busy on the next one until we hear from the first one. That's just all there is to it.
I know. We got a lot of stuff to do anyway.
We do. Because we are working on a lot of things, you know. But you know, we thank the Lord that you know, He's kept us going for all this time in our end days ministry of 20 years, and you know, we have been thinking of more of a health and healing broadcast. They all call them podcasts, but they're broadcasts, you know. But so at any rate, we're looking at that. And you can go to Get Healthy Young Living. That's our kind of our health site. And, you know, I've been busy. I get a few articles over there, but not a lot. It's connected to our product site that we have, but at any rate, the main thing is to get healthy, not just in your spirit and know the Lord, but in your body and in your mind, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, be fit.
That's right. That's what we all want.
And I can tell you that the battle of the mind is one of the biggest battles on this earth. And you have to know how to fight it. And the thing of it is where we come in with health is that there are ways to battle it through foods.
Natural means. Foods and natural instead of chemical.
Yeah. We're not talking about drugs in any way, shape, or form. We're talking about the properties of food that can heal. Because there are natural foods today that you can eat that can help your eyes, can help everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But this even goes, we even go deeper than that because at any rate, you know, we're just going to have to see how this whole thing plays out. Because right now we can't really add on a lot more than what we're doing because we are really busy. Of course, you wouldn't know that. Because we do have other things we're doing at the same time. I also write, not just books, but I've got articles. So we do keep busy. Now, you know, that fire out in California, you know, they were talking about, you know, I seen one headline that it had fired up near San Diego.
Oh, wow.
Now, I was stationed in the service in San Diego, Chula Vista and all the other places down there. I really liked San Diego. I really did. Of course, I was going to school. I was in the service. I was in the Navy, and I joined at a very, very young age. So when I took the test, they decided that I was material for a little another grade up that required school. So I went to Signalman School out there. And I'll tell you, I went to classes, and the Navy paid for it, and I lived there, and I really enjoyed it. You know, I could have stayed doing that for the whole tour.
Yeah.
Yep, I had a lot of fun out there in San Diego. But, you know, I've told this story before, but, you know, one thing I'll always remember, and I wish I knew who this guy was. And there's one part of San Diego that we'd always go to as sailors. And, of course, around the corner they had a lot of bars, and they weren't, you know, rough-and-tumble bars. But the sailors would go to them, and along one side of the street, that's where all the salesmen were. That's where, you know, when you'd walk up and down there, the people would be out front talking to the sailors. Come in and get your photograph. Come in and get a, you know, buy your mom a ring and all kinds of things. And so you'd go by there. And if you so much as looked at them, that was their cue to come talk to you. And they were so good. You never wanted them to talk to you because they would talk you into things. But most of the time, the sailors, when they did buy some, they would go have a few drinks, and that loosened them up. They would wind up in one of these places buying photographs, and usually it's a portrait of the sailor, like I got a portrait done.
Yeah.
And they touched it up and made me look like, you know, I mean there wasn't any blemishes. I mean, they airbrushed it. It was just like perfect. So I sent that to my mom, but I was perfect. I've never looked like that. But at any rate, in the middle of this, though, that, you know, you'd have this one side of the street that had all these guys that sold everything. And you'd go up around the corner, then there'd be bars and other stores. And on the other side of the street, they're about more of the same. I can't remember what all they had over there. I didn't go over on that side much. But in the middle, they had this little strip of grass and like a little aisle that had a little park, you know. And it had a little fence around it, and you could go into it and sit around and stuff like that. And the whole time that I was stationed in San Diego, and every time, every weekend that I was off and I would go downtown San Diego. And on this one trip I went down, almost every trip, let's put it that way, there was this guy that had a Bible, and he would walk back and forth. There's like 25 feet that he'd go from one end to the other, reading out of the Bible and preaching, and he never stopped. I sat there and I listened to him and watched him back and forth. And I'll never forget that, because as I stood there, and remember, I was a Methodist, but, you know, that man standing there, walking back and forth, he didn't have a scrap of fat on him, it didn't look like, but he would preach walking back and forth, and crowds would walk by, many of them would ignore him, and he'd just keep walking back and forth. And every time I seen him, that's what he was doing, preaching. I'll never forget that. And
could you hear what he was saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
See, God's word never returns void.
And so I always felt that he planted some seeds, you know.
Yeah. I believe that.
Now, at the time, I didn't know he planted seeds. But see, then I got out of the service. I mean, I got done with that school, and I was stationed on the East Coast. And on the East Coast, they had this neat little thing. It was called the Young Men's Christian Association, which I'd go to, and I could get a free meal in there in cheap rooms and play pool or whatever. So I'd go in there a lot. And then there was another one, the Christian Men's Fellowship. It wasn't the Y, it was another one. And in that one, I could go over on a Sunday, okay? And they would put a spread of food out for you. But there was one catch. You had to go down, sit at the table, let them say grace, and then they had got to preach to you, and then they'd bring you dinner. So, hey, that was fine for me. So, I would go in there and, you know, I would go in there and listen to that, and then they would, you know, get done preaching and give us food. And so I could go out on a weekend with practically nothing, and I could survive, you know, as a sailor, just yeah. by going to these various places. I had a free meal over at the Y, did it too on Saturdays, a free meal for breakfast. And then you could go in on Sunday, I think it was Sunday afternoon, at this Christian Men's. And they eventually changed the name of it because they figured that it was the Young Christian Men's Service Association, or say it had to do with servicemen, and they figured that not all servicemen were Christians, so they had to switch the words around to where it was a serviceman's Christian center. So a serviceman can go into the center is Christian, but the serviceman doesn't have to be. So that was a fine point on their
part. Crazy, crazy, yeah.
Yeah, well, they did change it, but so at any rate, you know, I mean, I think of how God took care of me during that time, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, at any rate, we're going to stop, and we got to get going on this, on our study tonight.
I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, tonight we're talking about sound of the trumpet, if when he seeth the sword, meaning the watchman in the tower, and they see that threat come upon the land. He blows the trumpet and warns the people. Now, prophetically and spiritually, this is an office where you look and see what the Lord reveals to you, and you get the message that he wants, and then you give that message. And you know, when we talk about, you know, the sound of the trumpet, and it's very, or you could call it a shofar, it's important to understand that the message of the watchman, or the warning of the watchman, you know, when they were up on the tower watching for enemies, usually you could see in the distance, and before an enemy ever got to you, as they were going through other villages and towns that you couldn't see, people would be fleeing those, and they would come to the biggest city that had a fortress or a wall around it. Jerusalem had one, Babylon had one, Nineveh had one, etc. Big walls. Most of these, like on Nineveh and Babylon, really wide walls. Took a lot to breach them. Some of them never did get breached. Babylon fell because of the water. They had blocked up the water and was able to enter it. Excuse me. So at any rate, so you can know that from the rumor. You know, someone's coming and say, well, you know, they hit this village and, you know, better be prepared because they're there. And then, of course, you can see the dust of their chariots and their armies a-moving in the distance, as well as wildlife and everything. So there are things you can see. And of course, that can really, really, you know, let you know ahead of time. But there are times that they may come up at night. They may come up at a time that you don't expect them, that, you know, they deliberately don't hit anything. Maybe they have their eye on Jerusalem alone. Maybe they had their eye on Rome alone. And so this is the way they would do it. They would go after the big, big prizes. Like, for instance, when they brought down Babylon, they weren't after all the other rest of the cities around Babylon. They wanted to stop the power center, which was Babylon. That's what they did with Nineveh, too. These were more of a city-state that would govern an entire area. In Israel, you know, you look up, and you see this enemy a-coming. Of course, there was a lot of different enemies. But the thing that we learned, you know, from reading the prophets and looking at all this, many times God would send judgment, and these judgment was because Israel had fallen away and had done something they shouldn't have been doing. Remember, the scripture says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And so God will chasten his people. He promised David many things, and he said, but his loving kindness would never depart from David, and that if David's children, those who followed him, you know, fell away and didn't do, then he would chastise them with his rod, but his loving kindness would not be removed. He wouldn't hate them, he wouldn't try to kill them. But there came a time, though, you know, especially under Jeremiah's ministry as a watchman and a prophet, that God said, don't even pray for this people. They're going to go, you know, and that's it. Because they had done such an abomination, and by that time they were passing their kids through fire. They were serving Baal and Asheroth. They had, you know, their prophets were false, their high priest, all of them in the temple were given over to abominations and idol worship and other gods. And, you know, the king and everything on down had given themselves over the people. I mean, they had fallen away. And, of course, so we tie this watchman and prophet into that prophetic office. When we talk about the enemy, warn the people, you know, that is where this comes in at. It's not just a matter of a guy up in the top. He's a watchman. He has the watchtower. He's looking around. It's in a watchtower because he can see. It's a tower. It's up on top. It's the highest point on the walls. And it has a 360-degree look at it. He can look all the way around. He can see things. But there are other watchtowers around the wall looking from every direction. And so these guys look out, and when they see something, they can't just scream. They have to blow the trumpet when something comes or when somebody comes. And throughout the Old Testament, we see that when someone approaches the gate, you know, they will call out to them. The ones on the front will call out to them, you know. And that's where you read, you know, where it says Babylon is fallen. A rider cometh. Lo, a rider comes on a horse, and he's describing what he sees. And the rider, as he gets closer, you know, starts screaming out, Babylon has fallen, Babylon has fallen. See, and this is the way they did things. So, you know, we take that office of the watchman very seriously in prophetic lingo, especially today. For many, 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 many years, David Wilkerson, who was a preacher, and actually, you know, it's because of him going into New York City, helping the gangs. At that time, it was Nicky Cruz and his group, and he tried to break into the trial, you know, the Cross and the Switchblade, very well. Well, he got a lot of fame off of that and developed into David Wilkerson Crusades. And, you know, he eventually sold a bunch of his stuff and went into New York City and opened up Times Square Church, which is still there today, and it is still going. He is the founder of it, but he was walking around on the streets of New York and said, Lord, there needs to be a church here. And the Lord told him, well, you need to build a church here. But David Wilkerson had warned as a watchman for many, many years, almost his entire life. And he was known as one of the premier watchmen. He never did call himself a prophet, and that I know of. Publicly, I'd never heard him do it. Tower and I had a chance to work in one of his crusades when he came to our area. And, you know, we followed him around. Of course, we had gotten into the AGs at the time as well later on. But he never classified himself as a prophet, but a watchman. And the watchman, his duty was not only to be a preacher and preach to his people, but a watchman to watch out and warn America and warn the people, warn his own people of what is to come. And so when I talk about being a watchman, and I've said this many times, I was a watchman long before being a watchman was even cool. You know, now, you know, over the years, we've had all kinds of watchmen. But, you know, that's just a term. Isaiah 21:6, let the watchman declare what he seeth. And that's basically what I've done all my life as a watchman, prophetic ministry. It's looking and preaching and warning. And we're not here for the numbers. We're here for the call and to be faithful. That's what we're here for. And so it's a very, it's an office that is individual. While we look in Jeremiah, for instance, Jeremiah, you know, is a watchman. Jeremiah is a prophet. Now, I don't classify myself as a prophet. I don't like that. I don't get into that. I'm just a simple preacher, and I'm a watchman at the same time. But, and I could care less about any of the rest of it. We're not here for money. We're here to be faithful and fulfill what God has put in our hearts to do and to warn and exhort. Now, that today in America is a watchman. Now, there are others that have more of a prophetic office, and I don't interpret dreams for people. Not on an open basis. I've had people ask me to, but I don't like to do that. I don't do personal prophecies. You know, I don't do any of that. I get into the Word and preach the Word. And I don't judge you. The Word judges you. And there are occasions that I will preach and bring out things and may even mention the name of a preacher or a church. But even when I do that, I only do that to bring the light on what is going on, but never to judge. The judging is done by the Lord. But see, the thing of it is, no matter what happens in a nation, and that's including Israel at the time, it boils down to one thing. See, and that is, that nation's choice is really up to them. And those prophets and the high priest and the people in Judah and the king at the time had a choice to follow the Lord God or not, to listen to Jeremiah and repent or not. America has a choice. Europe has a choice, individually nations. And we are living in a time, when we talk prophetically again, that God is going to round up the nations and he's going to judge them. And he's going to judge them openly and he's going to judge them in the earth before they ever stand before him. And one of the places that he's going to bring them is down to Israel to judge them there. Now, that's his choice. But he's going to use Jerusalem as a stumbling stone. And he's going to draw the people down. And matter of fact, it is a stumbling stone. I mean, you look what happened. Just as the rumor got out about Trump going to declare. Now see, he didn't do anything illegal. That's a law that had been passed a long time ago. But no president had the guts enough to just go ahead and declare it. And Trump just came out and said that because, you know, I mean, you know, by not doing it, we've not gotten peace. Everybody, you know, the Arabs and all the rest of them say, well, if you want war, go ahead and do it. Well, see, Israel's had war anyway. They've had enemies anyway. And that's why Trump is looked upon as Cyrus the Great by many of the Jews, because he did exactly what Cyrus the Great's the one that directed the Jews. He released them. You know, it's by his hand that Babylon fell. I mean, God used him. And, you know, and he made sure that the Jews were freed. They could go down there. And even in the modern Iran, they've even talked about that. They said, we don't hate Jews. And they've even used that. Because even our great leader, Cyrus, you know, helped the Jews and had them rebuild their temple. So they even use that. But see, make no mistake, today Iran would definitely go into to Jerusalem and into Israel. And they would take a lot of Arabs with them if they could to go in and to destroy and to kill. And a place that you need to read is Zechariah 14. That describes an initial attack. But God is going to bring them down to Jerusalem, the stumbling stone. And you can go into Zechariah chapter 12. So if you read that whole section, 12, 13, and 14, it'll give you a good little breakdown of all this. And so it basically boils down to that's what the choice was with Israel and the prophets, as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah and all flesh. And that is, it boils down to the fact that God has given men a choice. And if you decide to continue to do things that God considers an abomination, he will judge you for it eventually. He will bring the nation down. Nations cannot just live forever. China is one of the oldest nations we got on the earth as far as having a civilization. Japan is in that same realm. And yet they've had a lot of struggles over the year, and Japan has too over the ages. You know, God is the God of the nations. So at any rate, let's go to 1 John. Verse 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in 1 John 2:6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Now, from the perspective of the New Testament and the blood of the covenant, and as Christians, these two verses tell us that we need to be walking as Christ walked. That as he walked in the light, we are to walk in the light. And when we do that, we have fellowship with him. Now, of course, these words are given the fact that in John chapter 1, you have received him. And when you do that, he gives you power to become the sons of God. John chapter 3, you've been born again to the Spirit, not by the will of men, but by the Spirit. And Romans 3 through 6 and 7, confession of your sins. There is that experience of born again, a newness. And so once you get into that newness, you begin to walk in his light, doing the things that he does. And of course, he says in John, and you go to John 15. Matter of fact, I always say John 10 through 15. He is that one that is the vine and the branches. I talked about that a little bit last night. And see, so we walk as he walked. We are in the light as he is in the light. Because he is the vine and we are the branches. We are connected to him. And of course, that's a picture, a metaphor, a type. You have his Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, then you're not walking in wickedness. And this is what these scriptures tell us. Now, we know from scripture, even in the New Testament, that tells us judgment will begin at the house of God. Then if we who are saved barely survive, where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? Now, that is not about your sins being judged as a result of you going to Calvary. That is judgment on the church, period. Now, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, all flesh, Christian and non-Christian, are going to stand before Him. As Christians, we will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. The wicked will stand before God at the great white throne judgment, which is the second death. Now, make no mistake, we are living in a world now. The nations have followed Psalm 2, where they have cast off what God has set forth, both in holiness and righteousness, but even in the sciences. All the things that hold the universe together, that hold, the body together, everything, the minute genes and molecules and atoms. You see, now today with technology, we can manipulate things. You know, we can even transplant an entire head. That was in the news not too long ago. Now, see, so we're doing it. Unbelievable things. Now we're also looking at AI, artificial intelligence, where a machine learns to think like a man. A human, let's put it that way. Because these things will not be male or female. They'll be made up to look like male or female, but their programs and their intelligence will be able to go to either gender, and all they have to do is be programmed, and they will learn that, they will have that already in their system. See, and this is the thing that people don't understand. These things, even the sex robots they do, they're programmed to act that way. It's nothing but a machine, and it's a bunch of ones and zeros. It's electronics. You know, it is one of those things that humans really don't know where they're going. I've been warning on this for many years. And AI will destroy, in its original intent, as it gets improvement, it will destroy the human race. And part of the AI, and I've written on this too, and you can find them on my website, that when the devil in all his glory appears as God, he is going to have with him a new level of technology that man has never seen. And he will use AI, and he will use your digital machines, and he'll have even better. But he will use light, and he will use greater authority, backed also with evil spirits, and other darkness and powers that will enable people to be more like God. Because that's what the devil does. That's how he approached Eve. You know, he says, well, you know, you shall be as God, he told Eve. You shall not die, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And they would know good and they would know evil, but what he didn't tell them, that you're going to go to hell in the process and fall and cause everything to go down, and you'll need to be redeemed. Now the devil, it's not that he's a liar, he's the father of lies, but he's so good at it, it makes people think he's telling the truth, but it's not. You know, every lie can have a little bit of truth in it. See, we can say God is good. He will never send you to hell. That's true. He won't send you to hell. But what you're not told is He doesn't send you to hell. Because he's given you the choice to make. He's provided his son as a redeemer for all humans on this earth. So you wouldn't have to go there. And he is full of mercy, but the other side of that is he is righteous. And he has to judge. Sin cannot abide in him or come near him. Why? Because it'll evaporate. It'll burn. Paul says, knowing our God is a consuming fire, we persuade men. Now see, this is exactly why when you see Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up, and when you see read the call of Jeremiah, and you go through the book and even look at Moses and how he was in the presence of the Lord. Well, see, what you wind up with is men that find, you know, are presented with this God. That, yes, they had heard of God. But when you are as flesh in the presence of God, or in the presence of one of his holy angels, you are not able to stand before them. That's why if you ever look, you'll see many of them that'll fall down shaking, and the Lord say, get up, it's okay. Because we are weak. But many times, you know, we get in this little thing here where we have our pride. And so when we're talking about the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet was one of those sounds that was used to awaken the tribes of Israel. Awaken Judah. Awaken Jerusalem. Your enemy is outside the gates. Of course, they would have blown it long before these enemies ever got to the gates. And many times, the watchman could actually warn them ahead of time. And, you know, there might be a siege. So you will be inside the walls of the city. And the reason the army doesn't try to take your city is because the walls are too big. So they just stand out, sit in camp round about it. And they will have the water and they will have the food. And you'll end up starving to death. Because eventually your water will run out. Eventually your food will run out. Eventually you'll have eaten all the animals. Eventually you'll have eaten all the rats. And this literally has happened in the history. When we talk about siege mentality. We talk about war. So when we get into the main aspects, this is why when you look at the curses that God had told Israel once they fell away, that they would even eat their own children, which they did. It comes in that there are parts of the judgment that it's not pretty. It is not pretty. People die. You don't want to go through judgment. And this is why when as a believer and as a Christian, you and I, you know, we soft soap this to many people round about us. Your churches do the same thing. Because if these pastors really believed that there was a hell and that every people, you know, all the people would go to it, you know, because they didn't confess their sins, then they would be out preaching hellfire and brimstone. They would be preaching the gospel as the apostles would be out teaching, would have taught the whole thing. But see, today we are warm and fuzzy and deluded in our churches around the world, except for those in areas that are being persecuted. They can't get the word out because they're persecuted. They're living in what we call the time of the night when no man can work. And so the devil in some areas has actually succeeded in stopping the gospel going forth, and we've seen that in North Korea. Now, people can still hear the gospel, but very, very secretly. And there's a high cost to anybody that gets caught. And you see this also in Iran, you know, and, you know, we've prayed for those that that actually got thrown in prison in Iran because they were, you know, in Iran doing things for the Lord. And you see this all the time. And in some areas, you cannot work. But see, in America, folks, you know, we're going to pay a high price here. And the churches are going to pay a high price. Because, frankly, we don't believe. Oh, yeah, we believe in the fairy tale Jesus and the Sugar Plum Church. That's not what they call it. But see, we're comfortable in all of our denominations. We're comfortable in our theology and everything else in our little lives. But see, the bottom line of it is that when a watchman or a prophet comes along, they are sent to turn your world upside down. Like my old Acts teacher told the class. Says, when you go to preach, pack your bags. Keep your bags packed. He says, because they'll, when you're preaching the Word of God, you may not last in some of them churches. You have to be prepared. And of course, that literally happened to me and to my family. And it was because of what I preached. I was too zealous for the Lord, they told me. But that's the way it is, you know. I wasn't mature enough to understand that because it really hurt at the time because I felt that was where God wanted me. But see, they didn't want me there, so I didn't stay. You know, I didn't have a choice. Some of the people, you know, half the people wanted me, and of course the deacons, the board members rather, they were doing the voting. And they're the ones that caught me personally before they ever voted and said, we don't want you here. Pack your bags and get out. You're too zealous. So those were their words. And that was in the 80s. And the only thing that the higher-ups in the church were worried about was that I would leave the church. They didn't care about my family. They didn't care about me. They didn't care where I went. They didn't care that I had no money to go anywhere. They didn't care that it was around the holidays. It was just like, you need to leave and get out of there. We don't want the church split. That was it. That's the way it works. And so, you know, you get, when you're out there, you begin to find out the brutalness of Christianity. Because people protect their denominations. But folks, we get in America today and the world, and God is judging the world. And he's shaking things up right now. He's going to continue to shake them. And that's one of the reasons, and I told this to the listeners last night, you know, that's why God put in Trump. One of the reasons, because it shakes him up. That's another reason he allowed Obama to get there. And believe it, God does set the leaders. When he's put judgment on a nation, this nation is in judgment. You look at California. They spent all kinds of effort in denouncing Trump and denouncing that they're going to leave this nation. And now they're in the throes of the worst fires in history. They are in a mess right now. They ain't going nowhere. See, God shakes these things. Now, of course, you're going to find preachers that won't believe this. But you see, I am a preacher, but I'm not like these other preachers. I'm here to tell you the truth. And I have striven to tell you the truth and to preach what God has put in me to preach. I'm not here you know, to stand before tens of millions or thousands of people. I am a voice. And literally in the wilderness from where we're at, I mean, we're in one of the least populated states in the nation. And at one time we had more antelope than we had people here. I'm not sure where we're at now. But, you know, the bottom line of it is we're here to bring the word. We're here to warn those who will listen. First John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now see, that, I love John when he puts this down here. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous. You know, that's really hard to figure. Why would you say that, John? Well, see, if you get in the church, you'll understand why. If you look at some of the doctrines of these churches and what they preach and what they say is okay. And now I can tell you, I don't have the figures, but you take the young Christian, the teenagers that are growing up in these churches. There's a different view of immorality and fornication. Now, God will forgive people, but see, this is the point. See, your leadership needs to be walking this way. Now, in verse 10 of that same chapter, 1 John 3:10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest or plain, and the children of the devil. Now, pay attention to this. This is easy to understand. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. Now, see, we're back to loving his brother because he was talking about loving the brother. And so he's equating the fact that if you're not doing righteousness, you're not of God, and also if you can't love your brother. There is a good and there is an evil. There is a righteousness and an unrighteousness. And when we talk about the watchman and the trump and the warning, it is about righteousness. It's about holiness. It's about calling a people back to the Word of God, to a relationship with God, to repentance, to seek Him. That's what this is about. That's what I do. I've been doing it for 20 years, and Tower's been right alongside of me. That's what this is about. This is not personal. This is about doing, I am the voice, just one of them, that calls a nation and a people. And when we first started out, I was directing it at America only. And we had listeners at Canada, and we still have America, the USA, Canada, we get the figures. I haven't seen them for a bit. But we've always had people from around the world. I mean, all over, every nation that's visited our websites. But at this time, I was contacted by, some regular listeners out of Canada. And they said, you need to start including Canada in this and the world. And at the time, it never really thought too much about it. But see, they were right. Because when they heard the word preached, they saw the need in Canada. They heard the Spirit speaking to them about Canada, about their own situation, about the churches there. You see, God's word crosses boundaries. See, that's why people in North Korea, as evil as that regime is, why they've got Christians and these Christians survive. because God makes a way for some of them. Some of them don't. Some of them end up dying. That is the cost of having faith. But great will be their reward in heaven. See, only in America do you live in a place where you equate faith with how much money, how big a house you have, you know, how you're blessed, you know, as a Christian. And, of course, this comes out of the 60s misnomer of a few highfalutin preachers who, of course, are millionaires. I seen a picture of one of them the other day. You know, I frankly don't. If I have to tell you the name of them, then, you know, I ain't going to do that. I don't mention many names. I'm not here. God will judge them. And you need to go to the Lord, and you need to get in the Word, and you need to seek Him, and you need to find the truth. You need to hear. You need to have ears to hear. But righteousness has nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank, how big your house is. Your success as an evangelist is not how many people are gathering at your meetings. That is secular and that is carnal. Now, see, in the eyes of the world, success is, you know, if you're a millionaire evangelist and you have jets that fly you around and you have millions that's come to your crusades, you're a success. They will buy your books first. They will book you to any meeting first. See, and when they call you on CNN or any of the others, they will call you. They'll call that person first. I'm here because of the call, because of the message I'm supposed to preach, and who it goes to. While it goes out, it's not going to be received by the populace. They have no ears to hear today, many of them. They have no ears to hear. You see, the Lord went to His own, and you would think, going to your own, you can get a lot of people to follow you. But see, a prophet is without honor in his own town, his own city, in his own country. You would have thought that the high priest, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees would have known who Christ was, but they didn't. Paul the apostle, who wasn't an apostle then, he was known as Saul or Shaul. He was there when Christ was running around and preaching and taking on the lawyers and the Pharisees and doing miracles. He was there at the death of Stephen and was consenting to it. He didn't know the truth until Christ appeared to him and called him, knocked him off his horse. Paul was brilliant. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law inside out. He should have known who the Messiah was, but he says, I did it ignorantly. I did not know. The high priest did not know. He wouldn't have killed the Lord, but he wouldn't have been after him. And those advisors of his, see, that's the way it is even in the world, even in the religious circles. There's people that have no clue. They don't have ears to hear, and many of them are not going to hear. But there are those who have ears to hear. And these are the ones that if you hear it, that is the Spirit of God. And He will reveal to you what it is. Now see, the reason I like John is he gets his practices are really good. In other words, he gets it down to where you can understand it. I mean, if you do righteousness, you're righteous. Really? Wow, that's simple. Yeah, it is. But if you're following that which is evil, you're unrighteous. Go figure. You'd think we would know that, right? No, we don't. Of course, you got to understand terms. Remember Bill Clinton when he said, I did not have sex with that woman? He was lying. Technically, she had sex with him. I guess that's how he was thinking. But you see, in the churches, we've done the same thing. See, we've reclassified what is evil. We have more openness today. We see things that are not a sin as it is, as we would classify sin. We've reclassified righteous, we've reclassified what is evil and what is sinful, but the Lord doesn't. And see, that's why the judge of the church is not going to be a human. He's not going to be you. He's not going to be me. He's not going to be somebody on this earth. Not at this time. He's not going to be human. He's not going to be finite. He is going to be infinite. He's going to be the truth. He's going to be the way. He's going to be the Almighty. He's going to be the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is going to be Yeshua, Jesus Christ. You see, when his eyes burn, they burn in righteousness. His feet are as burnished brass, like he could walk through the hottest fire you've ever seen. Have you ever seen films of the old steel mills when they were melting and working with steel and how hot their furnaces were? Well, Christ is infinitely more pure than those fires are. He, in his righteousness, burns brighter and hotter than those fires. 10 times infinity more. He knows, and he will judge. And see, this is the message that the watchman and the prophet are given. Now see, it doesn't mean that all watchmen are prophets. And it doesn't mean that all prophets are watchmen. Prophets have a separate ministry altogether, which they go directly to the Lord. A watchman, you know, it's more of a term instead of an office. But you are on the warning end of it. Now see, technically, I can tell you a lot of preachers should be watchmen anyway. And as Christians, the Bible tells us we need to be watching. Luke 21:34-36, I've told you this a lot. Watch and pray always. As Christians, we're called to watch. We are not called to be caught in darkness. Revelation 22:11-13. I read this last night. But I like this because, see, in the end of days, this is important. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That applies today. That is addressing the end of days. If there are people in this earth that are unjust, let them be unjust, if that's what they want to do. If there are people that are filthy, let them be filthy, if that's what they want to do. If you have people who are righteous, let them be righteous, if that's what their goal is. And if you're holy, let that person who is holy continue to be holy. That is what it is in these end of days. That verse applies to today. And see, we are also living in a time when sin and iniquity will abound and the love of many will wax cold. We are in perilous times. We are in a time when sin is in your face and evil is there. And evil is good and good is evil. But see, this, you know, my goal isn't to go out and tell every sinner they need to stop it. My goal is to testify about the Lord and to preach Him. And then if their hearts are touched, they can repent. My job ain't to save them. My job is to testify and to preach the Word. It's the Spirit of God which convicts. It's the Lord which calls people and gives them understanding. And see, today we've got society itself that is going to turn on the love of the truth, which is the gospel in Jesus Christ. They've already started doing that. See, and they're going to come against that. And so what I have been given you is this little precursor, introduction. And when we start next week, we're going to be talking about the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. And we're going to get into Jeremiah. We're going to get into a little more detail in some of these areas. And we're going to see just how that prophet and that watchman worked and who he was against, what was his message. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for those who have heard your word. Bless them, Lord. Make a way for them. Help them to understand it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. So stick with us in this series. And we're going to get into some of the personal things of the prophet and the watchman. And we'll just go from there. So Tower, we're ready whenever you are.
Okay, I'm here. I can't believe it's over already. When you enjoy something and like hearing it, you just don't want it to stop.
Yeah, it's, well, this will be an interesting study because we're going to get into some of the details. And
yeah, that's good.
And
excuse me. So next week, we have a new study coming up.
On Thursday.
On Thursday night.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. What is it?
Good question. We'll find out.
It's a mystery. You'll have to come back to find out.
Well, yeah, you didn't really think that I would have an answer for you today, did you?
Well, I didn't know. Sometimes you do.
Well, see, I don't know exactly. See, we're coming up. We only have so many Thursdays left this month. And we've got to cover, you know, our Prophecy News 2017-2018.
The year in review.
Yeah, where we do the year in review and we're going to look ahead. And I've already got part of that done. I'm going to continue to add to it until we get there. And then we'll go over some of this stuff. I think last year we did 2 3-hour shows on it. We might have done 3. I'm not going to do that many this year. I'm not there's no need to really do all that. I'm not interested in every little thing, but there are some things we need to discuss. And actually, we will go basically follow part of the outline of the article that I already have up. And that tells you about 2017, 2018, and what's coming. I've already gotten comment back from it, and because we got it put up there, and we will use that as a resource as well. So, you know, you need to get over to the websites, you know, and read the articles. But there again, that's your choice, man. So, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Now, that's actually the book site for Steal the Darkness. And so, at any rate, we hope you have a good weekend.
Yes, I'm glad you joined us whenever you do.
Yeah, and we do this like this in order to get this thing done and get it where everybody can hear it when they want to hear it. So we want to thank everybody on Spreaker and those who are still listening on iHeartRadio. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. iHeart at one time was really up and coming.
I hope they get it straightened out. I hate to hear that.
And so we're also through the Blueberry line. We're on our own websites, you know, and all the social sites. And, of course, our Vimeo feed, which has extensive things. It's on Roku and a lot of others. You can actually watch the video portion on Roku by finding us on Vimeo. That is on Roku. So we have a lot of areas that many people don't even avail themselves on. And there's people that could very well be watching us on video on some of these things and that we have no clue that's what they're doing. So at any rate, we're going to be getting out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We hope all is well with you, and may God bless you richly in your walk with him.
Yes, good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.